Everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day, talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. We are broadcasting all week from the Summer Brain Camp, which is put on by People Report and Black Box Intelligence in their room, doing a little hosting with us. They're hosting us today. Lovely coffee from Pangeo Coffee. Great folks there. So do a lot of philanthropic stuff. And also want to do just real quick, I went to a session this morning, a little story here. So we're in Dallas again, I said. Went to Jim Knight, my buddy Jim Knight's session, talking about like corporate philanthropy and corporate kind of responsibility around philanthropy. Used a lot of examples from Hard Rock, that's where he's from. And it was an amazing session. It really, a lot of good ideas, and just took a lot from that. Really appreciate it. He concluded with, you know, talking about no kid hungry and kind of stamping out, obviously, childhood hunger as one initiative, especially this is all restaurant industry, folks, hospitality industry at the event we're at. So, but it's good. It's one of his passions. He's a great guy. So you get a chance. Knight speaks. You can track him down. Good dude, friend, and just overall kind of just great guy. So, okay, let's get to our guests because we got some stuff that I don't know, you know, that much about. So I love when we have those type of shows that I can learn some things. So Jennifer Triumph, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
If you would, let's kick it off. It's been a little while, but that's all right because I know you've got like some really cool stuff that's like happening now, which is always fun, right? To talk about like current events, kind of weave that in there. So introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of roll into what's top of mind with you.
Okay, well, so I'm just going to precursor this all with I work for a large healthcare organization in Indiana as a compensation analyst. Although that's my job title, it's not everything that I do, but a lot of times it's that focus that always is in the background that I have to be aware of. I also serve on a board of directors now for a small nonprofit organization, Collegiate Alliance of Musicians, and more recently I've been moving into the beginnings of my PhD endeavor, which has been always fun. So after completing two graduate programs, one in human resources and the other in leadership development, two theses, you know, all that great stuff, I could start saying that I'm going to promote that I'm beginning a new book that will hopefully come from my dissertation research in technology management focusing on human resources and, again, in the realm of comp philosophy, in the realm of feedback and performance management, that kind of area. But that's a bit down the road. So for now, I'm just trying to keep up to date on all things HR. And I know the annual SHRM conference is coming up, which I hope everyone gets their days filled with knowledge. But this year, I think I'm focusing on the ASHRA conference. And I know that everybody here knows SHRM if you're in human resources, but ASHRA is the Healthcare Human Resource Professional Association that does a couple of things as well. So that's me. That's who I am. That's what I do.
Nice. Good shout out to your nonprofit. That's really super interesting. Would love to know more about that. That's good. That's good stuff as far as the board. ASHRA, good shout out for them. That's one of the kind of the, you know, the little the vertical HR, you know, SHRM conferences. So all appreciative there. So what is top of mind for you today?
Oh my gosh, what is top of mind? It's been the top of my mind for probably the past 5 months, but it's really coming into light even more so now. It's compensation philosophy. But let's not just end it there. It's more about how we can reach an understanding that compensation is not the answer for all problems. We in human resources may know this, but I'm not sure how much the public knows this, and that's just from interactions with fellow employees. You know, you go out and have a conversation with a professional in the world, and they're like, so what do you do for a living? Heaven forbid you tell them you're a compensation analyst, because then you get the earful of how they're being underpaid, and so on and so forth. So, you know, my associates in HR that I've networked with more recently outside my organization always ask me the question, and I'm getting sick of this question, but it's, well, you're a compensation analyst. How do you fix these problems? And I always ask, what do you mean by these problems? And my second response is compensation is not the answer for everything. And then they banter with me with the fact that my answers are too generic. And I do that on purpose. You know, there's so much proprietary information with compensation. But there's so many books out there and there's so much research on the subject that, I mean, you can talk compensation all day long. So let's think about what we can do outside of compensation, outside of that financial impact that will maintain a balance to keep people motivated. And for anyone who's attending the SHRM conference this year, make sure you check out Daniel Pink, another shout out, who has tons of knowledge on motivation. And I believe he has a book called Drive, which is a great resource. But bringing it back to the compensation philosophy, today I even read an article. It was on compensationcafe.com. It's called Simple is Harder. But simply put, the simplest answer to a problem is not always the best, or is often the best answer. And I almost disagree with that in some cases, because what I want to put out there is don't throw compensation at something just because you think it's the simple answer. So we could go into more and more on that, but that's kind of what's keeping me up tonight in HR.
So what? So especially for our practitioners, before we go like go a little deeper in this, what's one of the two of the main kind of concepts or philosophies just overall around compensation that you feel probably aren't approached right?
Well, it's really the idea of, does your organization have a defined compensation philosophy? And is it simple enough for your organization? And then the other thing is, do you get enough of your employees buy into the organization to understand that your mission, your vision, your values, even though you may be a for-profit, which is to make money, or you may be a non-for-profit, which is to reinvest your money into a cause, you've got to really understand, can your employees buy into this, and can they understand that, you know, they may want more and more and more money, but really, how much can the organization handle before you've got to say, hold your horses, you know, we're going above market here. Are we trying to be with the market? Are we trying to be ahead of the market? Are we trying to lag the market? You know, what are we trying to do here? So it's really define that compensation philosophy, but define it in a simple way so that, you know, your general population can understand it.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, and it's one of those that comp is a really interesting and elusive thing, and even big organizations that I personally know don't have great compensation models. They don't have an overall philosophy, which in thinking back, I think was probably part of the challenge. I think there was some structure, but I don't think it was really thought through kind of where, you know, the tone of your approach to it, which, you know, probably we could have avoided, you know, my former life, we could have avoided some situations. Great, absolutely great point.
Well, Brian, I have a question on that particular aspect of it.
Go for it.
Thanks. talking about this compensation philosophy, you know what? If we are doing a quality test, so what are the key points an effective compensation philosophy should have?
Well, let's just go into what is a compensation philosophy statement? And we want to keep it generic enough so that we don't tie the organization to holding to a compensation philosophy that has to evolve as economic times change and shift. But at the same time, we want to portray the information to the employees and to our public to say that we do pay a competitive wage in the market. So I love, again, I'm going to refer back to that the article I just read this morning where it says ridiculously long emails to all employees explaining how merit budget has been determined for the year, including all steps on how competitive data is used, actual market position, desired market position, decision to lead, lag, and then also the new salary ranges, how they're built and adjusted, type of salary changes, adjustment, merit, promotion. You know, when you have these huge policies or these huge things in place, you're tying yourself down to a compensation philosophy that says, okay, we're a robot, and this is all we can do. So a compensation philosophy really needs to just basically, in all sense and purposes, state, how do you feel your compensation model is in the organization? Are we going to lead the market? Are we going to, it's hard to say, are we going to lag the market? Are we going to pay a market competitive, fair and equitable wage within our organization? We're going to maintain practices to benchmark against the market on an annual basis. We're going to, how are we going to keep this compensation practice in flow? So basically you want to say, where do you want to be in the market? How are you going to keep at that place in the market? And then how are you going to implement these policies in a changing environment? Those are basically the three things you want to touch on in a compensation philosophy. And you don't want to make it a five-page essay with notations and footnotes and headers and all that great stuff. You just want a couple little paragraphs about how you're going to maintain those 3 points.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you think, go ahead, Nisha.
So with that follow-up question of my mind, it's just running in my mind. So I'm just asking that. So HR is clearly the lead in developing an organization's compensation philosophy and then policy, and then success lies in, their close collaboration with the leadership team. So what's your take on, communicating this compensation philosophy to the employees and to the leadership team?
Well, that's a funny story. I've seen in some organizations, I've seen the compensation philosophy posted on their internal intranet. I've seen it posted on memos that go out to the employees from presidents. I've seen it posted in the employee handbook. It's really how does your organization communicate things that you really need to decide how do you want to communicate this policy out. There's no one correct way to do it. It's what fits with the culture of your organization. So I know that's like a roundabout way of saying I'm not going to answer your question, but in actuality, what's the culture of your organization and how do you communicate things normally? Because this is something that can be shared with the employees, and it's not something that you're going to be you're going to have to worry about it coming, around the corner and biting you in the future as long as you stick to following your compensation philosophy. If you have to modify your compensation philosophy, then make sure you portray that to your employees as well. Now, it sounds like I'm saying, okay, let's tell our employees everything under the sun about compensation. Oh, please don't do that. But, these couple short paragraphs to explain that, hey, we do look at surveys, and we do make sure that you're competitive within the market, and to also make sure that we tell the employees that, we're trying to pay you fairly. If an equity problem does exist, we're looking into it. You've got to tell your employees this, because otherwise you're going to get knocks on the door. And I know there's another book out there called Do You Have a Minute? It was on the SHRM's website as a published book talking about the knocks you get on your human resources door. Well, how many times do you really want somebody coming to your office saying, do you have a minute? We need to talk about my compensation. That needs to be solved. You need to put those fires out by saying, here's our compensation philosophy. This is what we do. Now, is everybody going to agree with that answer? Is everybody going to be happy with what you say? No. Not necessarily, but if you practice your compensation philosophy and you follow it and you make sure that you're keeping open lines of communication between you, your management, your leadership, all together, you shouldn't have as big a problem as what some organizations have, which is where nobody understands what we're doing in the compensation world. We just have these analysts who sit behind closed doors and nobody ever hears of them. Nobody even knows who they are in the organization. So that's kind of where we're going from that.
Well, that is perfect, and I'm going to do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, it's Nisha and Brian talking with Jennifer Triumph. A little bit about some comp. Who doesn't like some compensation, right? And so I'm kind of going to take the question a little bit different direction. So for startup organizations, is how do you go about not overthinking your compensation philosophy when you're a small company, maybe 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 people? How do you approach that? Because that's where I see the biggest, I see huge gaps in startup organizations, because that's kind of where I've been for a long time, is there's a lot of disparity between the compensation and how it's structured, and it's inconsistent, and it causes issues. So what do you do when you're a small company?
Oh, that's the big question, because, see, I'm on the board of directors for a small, it's very small, it's a startup nonprofit company. And what's hilarious about being on that board of directors with my background in compensation is that I looked at them and I said, you know, if we are going to be a nonprofit company, but we're going to have some paid employees, we're going to have to do some stipends, we're going to have to do some certain things, we need to come up with a philosophy for how we're going to pay these people so that when the government comes over us and says, hey, wait a second, you know, you spent this much money, you made this much money, and somehow there's this much money in this pool over here, what in the world are you doing with your finances? Maybe you don't qualify to be a nonprofit anymore. Then we've got to really take a step back and look at, okay, why didn't we have that compensation philosophy in place? Now, that's, you know, that's nonprofit world. So let's talk for-profit world. You've got a small business. You want to start with your compensation philosophy. Well, you've got to look at what percentage of your revenue are you going to devote towards paying your people? And that's of gross revenue, of course, not net revenue. So what percentage of your revenue can you afford to pay people? And then you've got to start looking at what does the market say those positions are worth? Are you going to be able to get, let's say if you're a small startup computer company, are you going to be able to get somebody who's an IT professional in for $10 an hour? Most likely not. You know, and there's so much published out there, and I'm going to caveat this with a be wary. There's a lot of self-published data out there like salary.com, payscale.com, I think it's glassdoor.com, where there's all this self-published data out there that says, you know, this position should make this. Well, if you look at that and you say, okay, well, if this position should make this, you might be overpaying in your market. So you've really got to do some research, dive into what other companies, you know, are, what is a competitive wage for your market in your area. There are resources out there. There are survey companies who work with small companies. There's, I believe, Comp Data is one of the compensation companies. And let's shout out to SHRM's conference again. I'm sure you'll have tons of vendors who deal with compensation surveys for large, small organizations as well. But the thing is no matter how small or how large your organization is, you need to come out with a strategy on how you're going to pay people. Are you going to pay at the midpoint of the market? Are you going to lead the market, or are you going to lag the market because you are a startup company? And if you're a startup company and you're lagging the market, you need to define why you're lagging the market. Is it because you want to make sure that people come on board with your company and that you can get them in the door and they're going to grow with your company and eventually you're going to lead the market? You need to portray to them that there are growth opportunities in there. So that's kind of hopefully an answer to your question. Cross my fingers.
That is such a great information out there. Well, talking about startup companies, you know what, we have to just take these two type of companies. Like we have mission-driven companies and then profit and loss-driven companies. So how would this competition philosophy differ in between these two?
Okay, I would actually have to ask you to repeat that question because you broke up a little bit on me there, and I do apologize.
I'm sorry. So how would this compensation philosophy differ in between mission-driven organization and a profit and loss-driven organization?
Okay. Well, in mission-driven organizations, well, theoretically, your compensation philosophy can be almost identical, and that's kind of funny when I say that because everybody's going to – I could see the Twitter universe now going, oh, my gosh, she did not say that mission-based organizations can have the same compensation philosophy as – revenue-driven organizations or organizations that are for-profit. And I've got to tell you, they can. And the reason being is you've got to think about what is your mission. Are you trying to provide a service to a group of people for some benefit to the community? And if you are, aren't you trying to provide the best service possible? Are you trying to find the best resources possible to provide that service? And if you are, yes, some of your workers are going to be of the volunteer level, but of your paid employees, you're going to have to start paying at a competitive wage to attract that talent to provide the service. Now, if you're attracting talent to provide the service, you do have to sell your mission to them. And if you sell your mission to them and they're going to get that buy-in and they're going to have development opportunities and they're going to have reward systems and they're going to have all this other incentive in place, you're not straying from your mission, but you're compensating these employees at a competitive way that can match a for-profit industry that can solely base their compensation on the fact that they're making a ton of money. So in essence, it's really kind of how do you want to sell your employee on what they're doing for their job? Is your compensation philosophy to give rewards and incentives to keep them at the market, or is your compensation philosophy to give them that straight hourly rate? And that's when you start diving into the more detail of compensation philosophy. And, you know, if I could just spin this subject for one quick second, because before we end this call, I do want to mention, you know, out in the news today, actually it was back in April 23rd, this is going to be a jump in subject just slightly, but still very related to compensation and compensation philosophy. So I believe it was April 23rd, I read on WGN-TV's news that McDonald's workers in Chicago had gone out on strike, and they were talking about that hundreds of retail workers walked out on Chicago jobs in McDonald's in a campaign, the Fight for 15. So these McDonald's workers, who typically make about $8.25 an hour, now want to make $15 an hour because their company is a $4 billion company or a billion-dollar company that's making all this revenue. Well, we've got to bring it back and say, where was their compensation philosophy in the beginning? Did they even have a compensation philosophy? And did those $8.25 an hour workers understand that compensation philosophy? Yes, I understand that everybody wants to make a decent wage. Can you live on $8.25 an hour? No. But if you push up that $8.25 an hour job to $15 an hour, what does that do to the price of bread? Well, let's think. A loaf of bread, $1.99, right? Okay, that's a cheap loaf of bread. It's about 24% of an $8.25 an hour job. So if they go up to $15 an hour, does that drive the price of bread up to $3.60 a loaf? Does that drive the price of milk from $3.25 a gallon up to $5.85 a gallon? Because once you start increasing those lower wage jobs, if you throw compensation at them all the time, you're going to have to inflate your entire market, and the higher paying jobs who do more work, have more responsibility, have more financial investment in the company that need to make these high-level decisions, you're going to have to throw more money at them. Now they're going to make more money, and the price of milk is going to go up to $5.85 a gallon. So if you don't have that compensation philosophy in there and you can't get it rooted in your employees and you can't get the mission of your employees out there, you might lose the battle if you don't have what we call the development model in place, so that these employees who are making the low wages can develop themselves up, promote themselves up throughout the organization, and eventually get to these higher paying jobs.
That is such a great information, Jennifer. Well, talking about, you know, we have salaried employees and we have hourly rate employees. So for those executives and managers who care about getting their compensation right, What's your advice to them in terms of, you know, communicating the compensation structure? Like we have bonus structure and we have salary base pay. So communicating that bonus structure to their employees. So it's like, what does the whole package look like for their employees?
Well, you know, I've seen this in some organizations, and it works really well. They give those total compensation statements. So where is your salary coming from? You know, so much is your base salary, whether it's annual or hourly. This is what your base salary is based on how many hours you work or how much you're contracted for. And then so much of your salary, which you don't see, is your benefits portion. So let's say, you know, your benefits costs, you know, 25% of what you actually get paid per hour. So that's not a cost to you. That's a cost to the organization. So that's in your total compensation package. Your bonuses are in your total compensation package. And you give out these statements in a nice format that's easy to read. And now you've got to ask yourself, how do you make these statements easy to read? You've got to take a step back, and you've got to read it from somebody who has maybe, and I know this is going to sound really horrible too, somebody who has an eighth grade reading level. And the reason I say that is when you read some of these compensation statements or these compensation total rewards package programs, they look like a lawyer wrote them. And we know how many years lawyers go to school, and they have all this legal jargon in there, and it's just really a lot of information that most people look at it and go, oh my gosh, there's a pie chart on here, and then they throw it away and they never think of it again. If you make it so that it's simple, so that an eighth grader could read it, more people are going to actually read the statement, even if they're college graduate level educated people. You've got to make sure that you target an audience and you make it so that everybody can understand it and you don't overstate it. So again, we go back to that fact of keep it simple.
Cool. So now we have fixed within the organization. So what's the point, you know, what's your thoughts on attracting potential employees with a compensation structure?
Well, when it comes to attracting potential employees with a compensation structure, I always say if your organization can pay at the market, please pay at the market. Because if you as a person in one organization and you have the option to move to another organization, if they're paying the same wage, now we're going to look at what is the mission, vision, and value of that organization, what am I going to do at that organization, is there opportunities for growth at that organization, do they have a talent management system in place that's going to help me as an employee grow. And those are the things you need to market. You've got to take compensation off the table when it comes to attracting employees. You've got to attract them in other ways. You've got to attract them with your organization. Pay competitively, attract them with how your organization relates to its employees. Now, I'm going to throw out a shout to Halogen Software out there. They have that total talent management software package. You'll probably find them at SHRM as well. You'll also find them at ASHRAE, and they have an annual conference. Let's give them kudos for that. When it comes to them, you know, you could actually solicit them as a talent management software company, bring them into your organization, and put into this whole package of employee development, getting 360 feedback, developing your employees, moving them up in the world. That's how you want to attract your employees. You don't want to say, we're going to pay you $10 more than that organization to keep you, because the minute they come into your organization for $10 more an hour, they're going to find another organization that's going to pay them $5 more an hour than what you just offered them. So you got to attract them with other caveats. Not bonuses, not retention bonuses, because that's only good for that immediate motivation. And Daniel Pink will probably talk more about that at SHRM.
Cool. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. So where can people come and find you? What's your travel plan for this year?
Well, my travel plans for this year, I'm going to actually attend the Halogen Annual Conference, which is the talent management software company I was talking about. I'm also hopefully going to be at ASHRAE, the American Society for Healthcare Human Resources. This year, I unfortunately have to not attend the SHRM conference, but in upcoming years, you'll probably see me there. But the best way to find me is HR Comp Gal on Twitter. Although I may not post a billion things out there, I do actually look at my Twitter account more often. I'm just one of those quiet introvert types, and that might be funny because on the show I don't sound like a quiet introvert type, but I am a compensation analyst, so I should be quiet and introvert. So I'm on Twitter, HR Comp Gal. You can find me there. Tweet me, whatever. I'll respond, but you may not see a billion and a half posts from me every single day, and that's just because of my nature, but I will respond to you.
Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us, Jennifer, and I really appreciate all the insights from you today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, guys, that's it. So we are actually at the end of the show. Please check out Jennifer's Twitter ID, HR Comp Gal, and her blog is such an awesome blog with a lot of information, compensation, cafe. Check that out as well. And with that, see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye.